feel like there's a
Blog Talk Radio.
And you're suffocating, unable to breathe. That's what it felt like, at least to us. And I'm sure some version of that feels that way to you. The anger, the pain, the depth of the loss is so profound.
Speaking in Buffalo after Saturday's deadly mass shooting, Biden said he and First Lady Jill Biden stand with you and grieve with you. Internet radicalization is a hot topic following the deadly mass shooting in Buffalo. Colorado State University political science professor Dominic Stecula says the information age isn't helping the overall situation.
It makes it easier to go down rabbit holes and ultimately radicalize and seek out information that you wouldn't have found very easily, 20, 30 years ago.
Stecula adds social media is a double-edged sword. That's because while it makes it easier for all of us to connect like-minded people, that isn't the best-case scenario for those going down the wrong rabbit hole. The FDA is greenlighting Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 boosters for younger children. Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
The FDA is granting emergency use authorization for kids ages 5 to 11 no sooner than 5 months after they complete their primary vaccine series. Pfizer submitted data showing that a third COVID shot boosts antibodies by 36 times in this age group. Studies by the CDC and the New York State Department of Health found the effectiveness of the two-dose regimen for children 5 to 11 dropped from 68% to 12% during the Omicron surge. Sarah Lee Kessler.
Jerry Lee Lewis will be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. The association announced new additions this morning during a live stream from the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Garo Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today and a few sun breaks. High temperatures, not bad, around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, clouds and that rain will move back in. Low temperatures back down to about 47. For Wednesday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures will cooler, around 58. The clouds and rain will continue for most of Wednesday. Low temperatures down about 44. Thursday, the showers will dissipate slightly. More clouds, though. High temperature around 57. Low temperatures for Thursday down about 42. More sunshine expected for the weekend. Highs in the mid to upper 60s.
Want to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Let us help you produce a professionally sounding radio show or podcast. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McCilley and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Law of Attraction Traction, Quantum Consciousness Connection and Creation with my mom, Holistic Psychotherapist Kareem Bierfeld. Kareem has worked in private practice for over 20 years and has witnessed miraculous recoveries treating those who've experienced trauma. Trauma stored in the body can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. When unconscious programs and traumas are accessed and released, negative core beliefs and maladaptive behaviors can be permanently reprogrammed. Dive deeper into the Law of Attraction and go beyond whatever is blocking you from attracting the life you want with Kareem Bierfeld. The Law of Attraction starts right now.
I love it. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning us in, turning us on. I always love listening to that. I just love the whole energy of it and really talking about it. You know, Kareem, you and I are going to take this conversation on again because I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the Law of Attraction Traction. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to share the stage with the most amazing Kareem Bierfeld. You know, today we're talking about a part two, let's call it, Benny, Jacob, Olivia, if we could, the importance of boundaries and managing our energy. And I had a giant dose of that this morning, Kareem. So It's not a mistake that just about every time we start to talk about something like this, there's a reminder as I prep for the show in what I can do and how to go about it. But obviously, boundaries are something you deal with every day. with your clients, right?
Yes, every day with my clients and in my personal life. Hi, good to be with you. And I don't think it was a coincidence that you had an experience this morning that would be relevant to what we're going to be talking about today. It's interesting how the universe tends to work that way. I had one yesterday, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about boundaries because as we're talking about the law of attraction, I was, you know, really reflecting on how important it is that we get to a place where we're able to manage our own energy. And one of the most important ways that we can do that is being able to have healthy and clear boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about what that means for people that may be thinking, you know, I've heard about the whole boundary thing, but I'm not exactly sure. I want to just break it down for people in the way that you do on a regular basis. So, for example, we're talking about everything from somebody just getting way too close in our face, like physically,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Then we're also talking about emotional boundaries, that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're talking about mental or cognitive, you know, which usually gets expressed in words.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about boundaries, the question is really, you know, what is it that another person might do, might say,
yeah.
right, might throw at you that just makes you feel like, ooh, one, this is not safe. Ooh, this feels really icky.
Mm-hmm.
And three, I'm too afraid to do anything about it. Okay, take it. Take it away.
Well, thanks for teeing me up there. I think the way you phrased the question was actually really on point because what you said is, what is it about what other people do that will make us feel a certain way? And what you're implying in that is, I think we all have an internal guidance system, whether we realize it or not, which is... our bodies a lot of time will recognize, like in a split second, way before our conscious mind will, if something is healthy for us or if it's unhealthy for us. And we will feel it in somatically a lot of times in our body. So if our boundaries get violated, it'll be usually a very quick, instant reaction. Problem that a lot of times I think people run into is we override what our bodies are saying. Instead of listening to the internal guidance system that we have, which is always telling us if something is healthy or appropriate or good for us, or if it's if we're being violated in some way. And then there's different levels and degrees of boundary violation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've found is that in my own personal journey anyway, the more that I have moved into a place of really like self-love and honoring myself, the clearer my boundaries have become. So I used to be a big people pleaser.
I know. I call it, are you ready?
Wait, I'm ready.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
Don't hit the yellow button, Benny. It's called the PP syndrome.
There you go. That's perfect.
So professional, aren't we?
So good.
But you see, it's big, and it's gotten bigger. You know, look, you and I sit in a world where, especially you more than me, because I'm not practicing. I'm not a practicing counselor like you are.
Yeah.
But we have watched in the past decade the annihilation, the evaporation, the lack of clarity on what even appropriate boundaries are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
social media and the entire debate right now as to whether or not we should let lies be
mm-hmm.
broadcast. And I'm not saying who's lying. So let me just be very clear here. I'm just
uh-huh.
saying, but haven't it gotten more complicated for you?
Well, it really has. That's actually a really good example of a boundary that I have set recently. I used to, so on my phone, you know, I have the apps for all of social media. I had Instagram, had Facebook. And what I would notice is that, you know, you're constantly getting the notifications. And so what do you do when you see a notification? You immediately hit it and whatever pops up. And it's like I started to realize that, I would hit the thing thinking I'll just look at whatever notification. And 20 minutes, half hour later, I'm putting all kinds of unfiltered garbage into my brain. So recently, I've taken those apps off of my phone so that I don't do that. Just that's an example of a minor boundary. But, yeah, I think it's really easy to open ourselves up to whatever is out there, especially with social media. A lot of negativity and, for sure, things that I don't want to be putting into my brain can come in.
Isn't it challenging, though, because on the one hand, you're a mom. You're a professional like me. And especially in what I do, I have to stay on top of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like something other than how Dr. Strange is doing in the box office, right? But you have to stay on top of it. So you have to learn not to get overexposed, right? And I love the term overexposed because we can let people get into our space and we find ourselves overexposed. We find ourselves in situations, behavioral and otherwise, and we think to ourselves, wow, I should have stopped this 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago.
Now you're doing some truth telling.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, so one of my great teachers that I've had in my life, he would always say, you know, he really helped me a lot on my own journey of just, you know, as I continued my own personal growth. He would say, as I continue to focus on my job is to focus on me and my healing. And as I continue to focus on my own growth, I know I'm going to get better. And then the people that are around me are either going to get better with me, they're going to come along for the ride, they're going to rise up with me, or they're going to get gone. And he would say, I'm okay with either one. And that's when I first heard that, I was like, well, that sounds easy to say, but it's a really hard reality to put into practice sometimes. And so, you know, my own experience with setting boundaries with people is, first of all, beginning to discern who in my life is a healthy person, who brings me up, who's like going to be a supportive cheerleader, who wants the best for me, who's going to raise me up higher than I already am or see me beyond where I already am, and who is, that, you know, over the course of my life had the experience of having people who just are more unconscious, not that they're bad people, just that they tend to, well, in some cases, interacting with them would bring me down, but in more severe cases, it would be dealing with very toxic individuals. And getting discernment around who's healthy, who's not, and then with the people that are not so healthy, learning how to state, this is what I feel like I want out of this relationship, this is what I expect or deserve, and learning how to detach. Once I've stated an expectation, if that person isn't willing to meet me there. Now, everybody has bad days, and everybody can go into their unconscious stuff. But, you know, like, one of the things I've learned over the years is that the healthier a person is, there's certain characteristics that go along with healthy people. Like, healthy people tend to be more self-reflective. Healthy people will tend to quickly take responsibility if they've harmed someone. They tend to want to become better. They want to work on themselves. They're interested in personal growth. They, most healthy people don't intentionally cause harm to others. But the opposite is also true when you are dealing with people who are, and I'm going to just call them more, like, I don't know, toxic is even a good word, more unconscious people. You like the word toxic?
I like toxic only because there's a handful of people that understand conscious and unconscious. But mainstream America understands it when you say toxic people.
Okay.
And, you know, it's okay to say it because we're saying toxic is a series of attributes.
Yes.
And we can talk about that. So what does toxic look like? Maybe somebody is not respectful to you, right?
Toxic, I think, looks like the opposite of what I've just described, honestly. So toxic would be, the more toxic someone is, the less likely they are to take responsibility for themselves or for their behavior, for their lives. They tend to play the victim more. The more toxic someone is, the more they tend to cause pain for other people. They don't want to self-reflect. They're not interested in growth or in self-improvement. They tend to play the victim a lot. I actually, do you know who the psychic medium John Edwards is? You heard of him?
Yeah.
He was using this great analogy. It's a little graphic, but it brought the point home. I was listening to an interview with him recently, and he was kind of using the energy of like, okay, if our energy field is like a swimming pool, like let's say you have your own swimming pool at your house. If you have a pool, you want to put a lot of time into maintaining the pool. You want to make sure algae doesn't grow. You're going to put in the right amount of chemicals to keep it clean and the bleach and all that. Now, if you had someone, and you want people to be in your pool and to enjoy the pool with you and to, like, you know, so it's more fun if you have healthy people. But if you had somebody that came in your pool and peed in your pool,
that's
the word toxic. So he's like, we may let that happen once, but how many times are you going to let somebody come in and pee in your pool?
Yeah.
It's so important not to let people in that are going to keep peeing in your pool, you know, to manage
energy. I so love that you're describing it like that. And let me tell you why I love it. Because when somebody crosses a boundary, it feels that invasive.
Right.
And it really does. I mean, it feels to the point where there are ranges. So I want to be clear. If you are engaged with a narcissist, and I'm not talking about throwing the word around. I'm talking about somebody that's got NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. 9 times out of 10, one, you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
But two, you know your heart hurts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Three, you know you're going to try pleasing them even after they're peeing in your pool over and over and over again.
Right. Someone with NPD would be really, they would meet all the criteria that I described, which
right.
is that they're never going to take responsibility. They're always going to blame, shift, and make. But one of the ways you know if you're dealing with a toxic person is that you will come away from the interaction not feeling good. You'll feel bad in your body, and the more toxic, the more that'll be true. And when you get people that are personality disordered, they actually thrive on that. They look for that. They want to make you feel bad. So what I've learned, too, about boundary setting is a boundary isn't, you know, jumping up and down and screaming and telling the other person that they need to change their behavior or demanding that they change. And especially if you're dealing with a personality disorder, good luck with that. That's not going to work. They'll just feed on that and probably continue the behavior more. So what a boundary really is getting clear within yourself, okay, this is what I'm willing to tolerate in a relationship, this is what I'm not, and if this person isn't capable of meeting me where I'm at and honoring the boundaries I'm setting, I just need to detach. I just need to disengage. I need to stop giving this relationship energy. And that was a hard one for me. It's been a hard life lesson because especially, with family members, I've had to, toxic family members and stuff, or unhealthy family members. Not that I'm saying to people that they need to just like cut off anybody who violates a boundary, but learning that it's okay for me to say no to relationships, that I don't have to allow myself to be involved in relationships that cause me harm. That was a big, big, big life lesson. And so the boundary is I disengage. I walk away. I focus on the people that are going to be supportive of me. And one of the things that I learned through the training that I did, in the Wellness Institute, which is where I learned how to do hypnotherapy, is it's not so much our behavior as it is the underlying intention behind our behavior that really matters, the state that we're in when we engage in the behavior. So what I mean by that is, when I talk about disengaging from relationships, I used to, if someone was upset with me, I would go into such a place of like, I need to fix this relationship. I need to make sure that it's okay. And the flip that has happened for me is recognizing, this person's on a journey. They're allowed to be on their journey, but I don't need to fix them. And if I pull away, my underlying intention is not to cause that person harm. The underlying intention for myself is just to be honoring of myself so that I can stay in a healthy state. Because as we're talking, you know, we keep talking about law of attraction and what do we want to create in our life. Well, our relationships and the people that we surround ourselves with, I think are by far have the most, the greatest impact on our state, which then of course is going to determine what we draw to us. So we need to be so mindful of who we're allowing around us, because I would say our relationships, number one, and then probably social media, second, determine the state that we live in. So what the difference between setting a boundary when you know you're in a healthy place, it's like you can disengage from a relationship and have compassion for the person you're disengaging from, not wish them ill, but just know that you're doing it to protect yourself versus like what I would call, you know, like the sometimes people are passive aggressive or do the silent treatment, or if they're coming out of a place and I'm doing this to punish, it's a very different state and it's a very different energy. Does that make sense?
Yes, and part of what we're talking about is really important, because when we stand up for ourselves, if I might put it like that, because that's what it feels like sometimes, Corinne, when we stand up for ourselves, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do, but it is an essential thing to do. And there are so many ways that we have to do it. For example, you knew you were in a toxic relationship, or let's just say a not-so-great relationship with somebody, family member, an ex, it doesn't matter, a boss, right? But you made a conscious decision that you forgive and forget. You moved on. And then you get a birthday card. That doesn't mean that the birthday card says that you actually, one, have to even open it, two, have to respond back to it. And that's really where the teaching comes in.
Yeah.
Because just because, right, something happens with a relationship that you know is harmful to you,
mm-hmm.
and it's harmful to you in multiple ways, mentally, emotionally, and it could be physically, we have the right to say no.
Yes.
Well,
we do.
Are there examples where you give people second chances or you take time to listen to them? Of course there are. But you get to the point where you say, I just don't want to continue to have this boundary not feel good.
Yeah,
and you
or continue to have this boundary violated.
Right.
Yeah.
And you go and you make the request and you say, hey, can you not text me 100 times of the day before you actually delete your phone number, right?
You sound like you might have some of your own experience with this.
Yeah.
So you have some idea what I'm talking
about. And, you know, I'm kind of like, there's not much that will ruffle my feathers.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot for me to get to the point where I've had enough. There has to be... And that's a relationship I have with my brother. I had to get to the point where I had to say, no matter what I do, no matter what we try to do, there's going to be a hurt that I feel.
Yeah.
Right? And that is one of the hardest things to do. But the other thing, Corinne, I would like you to talk to is you don't get to these decisions by yourself.
No.
I mean, why is it we go to counseling? Why is it people come to you? Because mm-hmm. they need help. Isn't that the critical point about how to address a healthy boundary? Because we don't see ourselves, right?
Sometimes I think it's really hard. Yes, it could be helpful to get a perspective from an outside person who's a third party, but it doesn't always have to be a therapist. It could also be a healthy friend that you trust their judgment. You know, what you touched on with your brother, that has been one of my experiences, too, with how difficult it is, especially when you're talking about a family member. Some, you know, like you said, it could be a sibling or an ex or a parent. It's a really hard thing for someone to come to a realization of, okay, this is, you know, to really disengage from a core relationship like that. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing. And I've worked with clients, some who make the decision that they just are going to go completely no contact because they just, any interaction is so harmful, and some who decide, especially if it's like family members, that kind of thing, that they keep the contact very limited. So, like, you know, if it's a toxic parent, that they will, okay, we're going to visit for Christmas, but then they'll make sure that they have, you know, they're going to stay for an hour, and then they've got a plan of where they have to be next and a reason to leave, so they don't spend 8 hours with the person. They manage it and they keep it more limited, and that's okay too. You know, I think it's kind of an individual thing for each person to decide. But I just really want to validate, you know, when you talk about your brother and how difficult, it's a hard thing. This is not an easy thing to do. The reason I wanted to do this on this topic is because, boy, I know what a difficult life lesson it's been for me over and over. But I have also come to realize, like, how important it really is, to get clear that it's okay to honor ourselves enough and to love ourselves enough to say no to people that are unhealthy. And saying no doesn't even have to be a verbal no. It just means we don't continue to engage and respond and interact with people that are going to, like, draw us into the muck.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in the muck.
Yeah, and part of this, too, is, and just talking with you about this, is let me just be a little bit clear. We're using very generalizations, and some of these are harder than others. For example, when it comes to a son or a daughter, a child, you know, those take a skill. They take, and sometimes it's an easy one. You know, sometimes it's one of these things where, you know, they're pushing your limit, right, by asking you for the extra $10 in the, right?
Uh-huh.
But other times it's not. Other times it's something more serious. Corrine, this is a very important show and very powerful, but this is also represents the body of work you do with others. Let's take a minute and let folks know, one, how can they find out more about how to work with you? And let them, you know, take a look at some of the things you do. What is the best way to do that?
They can go to my website, which is my name, KorrineBierfeldt.com, and there is information on my practice there, and my contact information, my office number, and how to reach me is on there as well. You know, when you bring up the parents, I'm like, oh, I'm working with some right now, but it's who have children. So especially if you're dealing with a child who is an addict, for example, or you talked about narcissistic personalities, or you have a child who is just out of control in some way with their behavior, I think that's probably the hardest thing for a parent to draw a line with their own child to say no more. You know, but sometimes it's, you know, they talk about hitting bottom for people. Sometimes people just really need to experience the consequences of their behavior enough and suffer enough if there's going to be any hope for them to begin to recover.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think that this is a part two to a conversation because...
Oh, we could talk about this for hours, I know.
But the other part of it is it's so relevant now. Relevant in so many different ways. And what social media has done, it's done a lot of great things to connect, but it's also done a lot of things to blur the lines, right? And
for sure.
Because the lines are now blurred and because we don't want to not please someone, it does get complicated. So thank you for taking this on. Again, let me just ask, tell people how to find you, but also what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Mm-hmm. So again, my website is my name, KorrineBierfeldt.com. And as far as the personal message, I just think it would be something around this principle of learning to love yourself enough and to honor yourself enough that you begin to trust your own body, your body's wisdom, to have discernment, to speak up when something doesn't feel right, and to be able to begin to really set those healthy, clear boundaries that will help you to live the kind of life you really want to live.
I love it.
Thanks for
for joining the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Green Birdville. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio and learn how you can heal from the traumas and conditions you thought were impossible. Get inspired to pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. To learn more about Corrine and her and the services she provides as holistic psychotherapist, visit her website at corrinebirdville.com.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome to the Be Happy Now show. Flex your soul connection muscles and be your inner guide to fulfillment and purpose. I'm Claudia Sam. If you know that you're here for a bigger reason, this is the place to be. Together, we ditch the self-care guilt and quit the go, go, go with less fear and more trust. Tune in to living life in alignment with your full potential. The Be Happy Now show starts now. Hi, welcome to the Be Happy Now show. I'm your host, Claudia Sam, your soul connection coach. And wow, I'm just getting on here and feel so inspired to share with you the answer to a question that so many of my clients ask me. How do I stay calm throughout my day? In other words, how do I carry this peaceful, soulful, intuitive, connected place that I'm in and not just hone into it and be with it in my yoga class or in my meditation or at that one time in the morning or at that one time before bed? Yes, it can be a question of many directions. Basically, how do I keep the being part of me? How do I keep this energy that I know I have in me? I know I can be calm. I know I don't have to go, go, go and do and be so busy and feel like I'm running and chasing my tail. How do I do it consistently? Well, if you're asking yourself that question and if you're wondering, what is the answer to that? We'll get to talk about it on this episode. If it's the first time that we meet, welcome. As I mentioned, my name is Claudia Sam, and as your soul connection coach, I support driven, ambitious, passionate leaders and guides who know deep down that they're here to lead life from a place of passion, who are here to make a difference in the world. And I bet you that if you're here, you might have put a lot of energy on pleasing other people in your life, on getting the perfect job, the perfect scores, the perfect everything, just being quote-unquote good at life. Does that resonate with you? Well, I support these people, my clients, people like you perhaps, to actually come back into their intuition and get out of their head and access their heart. And to do that, I created the Tune In Method, which helps people actually connect back with their body, their mind, be with their emotions instead of pushing them down, and really connect with what they're here for, what's their purpose, what are their values, and what's important to them from a heart place, not from a conditioning place, not from a, well, I've been doing this my whole life, I mean, it's not going to change, kind of fearful place. This is where it gets to change, yes. And also within the tune-in method, there's a big part on trust, trusting your heart, trusting your intuition over the mind. Mm-hmm. Not that the mind is bad. You know, there's an episode that is called Dancing with Ego and Soul. If you want to get to know more in details what that can look like and what that has looked like for me, then I invite you to go check it out. So there it is. There's what I do. Here's the introduction. And if you're at all curious about where you are in the tune-in method and in what ways that could be beneficial for you to just kind of tune in to what that is for you, then I invite you to go to tuneinmethod.com and or to go to ClaudiaSamSoulCoaching.com/ actually just ClaudiaSamSoulCoaching.com and then you can look at all the resources I have there. If you click on the orange button that says start here, then you will get my free 3-step audio guide to help you put yourself first. so that you don't end up at the bottom of your to-do list, or maybe not even on the to-do list, right? Because you get to be. This is what we get to explore today. One of the things that I've definitely played with is that, yes, accessing that peaceful and calm place where you feel like you're floating and you're flowing through life. Everything seems to be going well. And you're like, man, I just want to be in this state forever. It's almost like saying, I want there to be sun all the time. I mean, I used to be, for one part, I always hated winter. And now it's changing because I'm honoring the cyclical nature and the four seasons. And but there is still that part of me that's still there. And I'm going to talk about, like, the past for me was that I wanted life to be always summer. I always wanted to be on. And that's kind of like how we are taught, right? We are, let's say we're watching TV and there's ad after ad after ad telling you what you don't have and what you need and what you should be and where you should, what you should do and where you should be. Does that resonate with you? When it comes to being in the body this with this calm and peaceful energy that you might cultivate in a yoga class or in meditation or just when things are going well for you and you just want that to keep going, well, then life just comes back at you and throws you this thing that you're like, man, it was going so well. And it can go very deep. Like I, for once, when I'm saying this all nonchalantly, but it was a big deal when my grandmother passed away in 2015. I remember being so mad at yoga because I thought that yoga was supposed to make me immune to, well, how to be peaceful and calm at all times. That I really thought that that was the whole point of being in a yoga teacher training. That was during my first yoga teacher training. And I was really mad at the yogic lifestyle. I was blaming definitely externally than me. I was putting the responsibility of my happiness and of my sustained peace and calmness. I was giving that responsibility over to the practice of yoga. Well, this is okay, another part of what I want to touch on. What I want to come back to in the direction of our discussion here today is that just like in life, there's not just one season. There's not always the sun. Sometimes the moon is there. Sometimes it's the night. It's not always day. We unfortunately don't get, well, we might not experience life, because I can't speak for you. We might not always experience life at the high. We don't. Most of us don't experience life at the, this is always going so well. And we might have some seasons in our life as well that, ooh, for some periods of time, it feels so good and it feels like we're surfing and we're not getting caught up in the wave. And then sometimes it does. And this is where I want to invite the idea that what if you get to surf through all the waves and learn the tools to cultivate from a place of within yourself the strength to navigate the times when you feel like you're tumbled into the wave. Instead of surfing it, you're like caught up in it. Instead of panicking and then choking on the water and drowning, well, you get the tools and you can rise back up to the surface and then get back on the board and surf. I don't have the perfect answer. Basically, what I'm saying, and not to discourage you because I am recording this podcast for something, it is possible to move through life just like if you are in a yoga class, and some yoga classes, you will experience transitions between poses. Well, just like we transition between night and day, between spring and summer, between ego and soul, we also get to transition between the peace, calm, and stressful times. And when we cultivate the tools that gives us the access to the peace and the calmness within our body regularly in meditation and yoga and whatever other tool that you use that works for you, that means that the stressful periods, the times that we are in the wave caught up and tumbled, can not be so depleting. These moments when we feel like life is happening to us, like we're all of a sudden off track, well, maybe this is just an opportunity to practice the tools. And this is what I found myself faced with when I was yelling of anger sitting in a ball in my kitchen after my grandmother passed away, in the inability to understand what was really happening and blaming yoga for not keeping me afloat. It's like saying, yeah, I don't want to be human. I want to be human when it's joyful, but I don't want to be human when it's not. And what I found myself in this experience was that was my opportunity and one of the many chances to hone in on those self-development tools that I was learning. It was an opportunity for me to go, wait, I don't need to be a victim of the situation here. I don't need to make myself drown. What I get to do is that I get to be with the emotions. I get to be with, oh my gosh, this sucks, right? We get to be in this space, and so often we want to get a Band-Aid solution. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to feel it at all. We just want to move back into the flow, and we just want to be happy, go lucky, joyful. And so if this calls to you, because this is often what I hear from my clients before we start working together, they're like, I just want a tool to feel better because I know that I can, you know, feel good in my body, and I know that I'm confident, and I know that I believe in myself, and I have this inside of me, this energy and this knowing that I'm worthy to live a fulfilling life. So I just need like one or two tools to keep me going. This is like saying, oh, I just have a headache for now. I'm going to take a pill and then a painkiller, and it's just going to go away for now. And I know that I have this tool. I could just keep taking it. This is saying, oh, the deep emotions of why, and the deep emotions and the beliefs that keep me, the beliefs that I keep alive, that keep me going at the pace of, I just need another tool. Something happened that makes me not fully aligned. So with this other tool, it's just going to be better. But there's something that dragged me into the need for another tool. There's something that makes me feel incomplete. And there's something inside, maybe this is a possibility, and I've experienced it within myself. There was this possibility or this belief that was kept alive that I just needed to find a solution, an external solution. Like I thought yoga was a solution to keep me from feeling the bad or lower vibe emotions in life. I was giving the responsibility to yoga to say, yeah, I don't get to be a human in the quote unquote bad situations, and I only get the good. So when we want to find a solution and just get a tool, there is an indication that something is not fully aligned. And here's my invitation to you, for you. It's to look at what keeps the belief alive that doing something else will help you. What keeps the belief alive that doing something else, seeking help outside of you, is the solution and will help you? Here's a big thing. When you hone in to who you are as a human being, meaning being with your body, really noticing when your body is speaking to you, when your body has that headache and you're taking painkillers, what if instead of taking the painkillers, you got to say, oh, wait a minute, am I criticizing myself? where am I putting pressure on myself? What if I was able to look at that, then I would no longer have a headache so often. There is an opportunity for you when you are looking for another solution, when you want to keep the good going and you don't want to access the quote-unquote bad. Here we can also say the lower vibe emotion or experience of life. Whenever you're like, oh, no, I don't want to go there, then what keeps the belief alive that it's bad down there? What keeps you believing that lower energy is bad, lower vibration, lower experiences of life? Nope, it's bad. If I go there, I'm going to be hit by a big wave. What keeps this going for you? This keeps you in the do, go, go, go mode. So what I'm bringing and inviting or serving up on a plate for you to take me up on or not is that when we get to be with our body with those signs, it's like a little flag. It's the light that's turned on, and you get to look at the light, right? Lift up the curtain to see the light from outside. You get to make a choice. Oh, do I want to be with what's there in my body? Also, do I want to be with what's there in my mind, that belief that keeps me operating in a doing mode, not wanting to explore the bad or lower negative, lower vibe emotions? What keeps this going for me? Am I willing to shift out of it and see it differently so that I can live life less in the extremes, less in the really good or really bad? And actually spend, yes, more time in the really great. And when the quote-unquote bad happens, we can just kind of, oh, we're in it, we see it, but we're not afraid of it because we don't spend so much time in it because we know how to be in it. There's a lot of same words that I'm saying. I hope you're following me. When we get to, so be with the body, be with those beliefs that keep us doing and looking externally for solutions, wanting just like a Band-Aid type of solution. What's the belief a lot that keeps us operating in this way? And third, my third point is, are you willing to be with those emotions when they're here instead of pushing them down? So if you're like, okay, how do I keep this going? Are you actually being in the joy? Are you letting and giving your body permission to be with the expansion that it's in? Or are you, as soon as you feel the expansion and the happiness and the joy, already looking to move on from it and have and create a different experience for yourself? Did you hear me? Are you allowing yourself to be in the presence of the good emotions in your body, the good experiences of life, so that they're not limited to just a thing that's ticked off the list? Oh, yes, I enjoyed. Yes, I was joyful. Yes, I was playful. Yes, I was happy. Now what's next? What's the other tool I can go to? Do you resonate with that? So we looked at being with the body, the messages from the body, being with the beliefs that keep us operating in the do, operating in a way that we think it's better elsewhere and that we just need another solution, another tool, a Band-Aid solution. What keeps that alive? And we explored the being with the emotions so that in the present moment of, okay, when there's a good emotion, we really be with it. We feel the good emotion instead of pushing it aside. This goes the same thing for the quote-unquote bad or lower vibe emotions. When you feel a trigger, right, when you feel like, oh, my gosh, this is making me feel really uncomfortable. I feel like I'm unimportant right now. I feel like I'm not seen or I'm not heard. Well, you get to go back to the body. How does that feel in the body? Ooh, the thought is, I don't feel heard. I don't feel important. They made me feel this way, right? Sometimes that's what happens. The emotions, whether they're a high vibe or a low vibe, we get to hold space for them, be with them, allow them in instead of just want to push them aside, whether they're good or bad, or whether they're high vibe or low vibe. You're listening to the Be Happy Now show with your Soul Connection coach, and we're exploring the idea that, because many of my clients come to me wanting to sustain a level of joy and calmness and peace forever, and they never, ever want to experience the bad. And when they are in the, often what I hear is, well, I'm just rushing and running from one thing to the next, and then I'm really good at setting aside time to be with myself and calm down and be peaceful. But then when I'm in the rushing, when I'm in the doing part of me, it's like I don't know how to stop. It's like I don't know how to just be back in that peace. So for the second part of this episode today, I'd love to explore finding that balance. As much as we get to be with the body, the mind, and the emotions, which is the foundation of the tune-in method, by the way. So if you are curious about how that can work for you, I'm happy to hop on a free 20-minute clarity call with you to just have a chat, no strings attached. You can go to claudiasamsoulcoaching.com/yes. And that balance, it's like if you think about a gradient of color, right? When we move from in a rainbow, let's talk about a rainbow, because a rainbow is full of possibility. Everywhere you look at the rainbow, it seems to follow you, right? It seems to have a different starting place. It's all about yet the perspective. Wherever we are, it's there. The gradient of color in a rainbow lets us know that there's no clear start and end. And this is where I'm inviting you to play with the peace and the calmness and the joy that you can feel in your body and in your life when you are in meditation, when you are in yoga, when you are just doing your thing and being you and everything feels flowy and in alignment. Well, can you be in this transition where it doesn't stop? It's not like, okay, now I'm doing. Okay, now I'm at work, so it stops. There's another episode of the Be Happy Now show that talks about the different parts of ourselves, and we explore being who we are. Let me look at what the title is for you. Okay, so it's either in the Tapping into the Unshakable You episode or in the Are You an Overthinker? This is for you episode. There are over 28 episodes of the Be Happy Now show, so pardon me if I'm not clear cut on where we talk about this. Where I want to go to for the rest of our episode today is that you get to be you in every part and aspect of your life, and you don't have to categorize the, because I know you have like perhaps work and then family and then your passions and then, oh, your little side project. Oh, and the volunteer work you're doing, and oh, that friend that you're, you know, you might have different categories, and sometimes we show up in a specific way with different categories of our life. And my invitation for you is to actually look at your life not needing to be split in different categories, so that instead of being a full stop between the meditation practice and work, well, what would support you in creating a fluid transition between the tuning in, the aligned action? Because when we get to still tick things off of our to-do list, when we are anchored in the beingness of who we are, we do. It has a totally different energy. Because if I just go through the list going, okay, I need to do this, and it just feels forceful and constrictive and not so enjoyable, well, it doesn't have the same result as if I look at what is on my to-do list and take action, because it makes me feel so inspired and it makes me feel so joyful. And then you're going to say, well, Claudia Sam, it doesn't make me feel joyful to do my laundry. Okay, well, if doing the laundry makes you feel so drained, where could you get support in your life? How could you manifest and attract support in your life so that you can have someone who can help you with the laundry so that now your energy can be spent in something that aligns you back in to the peace and the calmness and the alignment and joy that you just love to sustain and be in. And if you're thinking, yeah, but you need this, or no, that couldn't happen because, be aware that this is what you are operating and going through life with this belief that, no, that's not possible because. And it's okay. We're not here to say it's wrong. We're just here to go, oh, that's what's happening. This is what keeps me in this cycle of thinking that, yeah, I can't because. Next time you think, okay, what's a tool I can use? My most precious tool, the most precious tool I have for you is what you have and do consistently without knowing, your breath. Your breath is such a supportive tool to hone in on. Because right now, what's the one thing you're doing and you're not noticing? Maybe breathing. So are you willing to use your breath as that tool? When you are in yoga, you're asked probably to connect with your breath. When you are in meditation, you probably start by taking long, slow, and deep breaths. When you're outside and it smells all the beautiful flowers of spring, you probably take that breath in and feel so expansive with joy because you're breathing in. Well, what's happening in the mind while you are breathing? Are you consciously being with your breath, or are you on that to-do list? This external awareness of not necessarily being with your breath before a meeting, before you answer a call, before you say yes to someone, before you make a decision, you get to say, let me take a breath on this. That is when you access the ease, the flow, the peace, and the joy that's always there within you. Your breath is one of the most magical and easy tools to access so that the transition between the doing and the being can be smooth. It's already within you. So as much as I can give you other practices and you can ask for other tools and sign up to other trainings and look for all these external ways to validate that, you get to still look for external things, right? Because when we're like, oh, I need another tool, well, you find another tool because the world is filled with many tools to happiness, to sustaining that happiness. Well, it just gives authority to that part of us that was in belief that we needed it, that it's okay that you get to believe it because you just got another tool. Are you with me? So by remembering that your breath is one of the most powerful ways that is free and that you get to practice, to be with, so that when you're there thinking, okay, how do I sustain this level of joy and bring it through my day in my meeting so that it doesn't feel so rushing, remember that one breath can be 10 seconds. If you really breathe slowly, okay, one full yogic breath is about 10 seconds. Are you at 10 seconds close to not being worthy or to being judged by someone or to being pushed aside or to feeling unimportant or name it? Are you really 10 seconds away from that? Really, truly think and feel into this.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Good thing, folks, so far no major blocking accidents to report at the moment. Traffic actually looking pretty good. We do have some traffic interruptions in downtown Seattle around Yesler Way and Jackson Street, and especially on Broadway. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Hope everyone's enjoying a partly sunny Tuesday. Hopefully we'll see a little bit more later on this afternoon. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the Dr. Pat Show Talk Radio to thrive by and a journey to the center with lives around hypnosis and Dr. Rand Anbar. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden says he clearly understands the anger and pain of losing a loved one.
Jill and I have come to stand with you. And to the families, we've come to grieve with you. It's not the same, but we know a little bit what it's like to lose a piece of your soul.
Speaking in Buffalo after Saturday's deadly mass shooting, the president acknowledged the 10 victims of the massacre at the grocery store and said evil and hate came to Buffalo. The teenager accused of killing 10 people in Buffalo will be back in court Thursday. Meantime, new details are emerging about what led up to the tragedy Saturday. It appears the alleged gunman, who authorities say was motivated by racial hatred, spent at least 2 months planning the attack and was in the Buffalo area on Friday to scope out a grocery store. The Biden administration is lifting Trump-era restrictions on remittance and flight rules to Cuba. Cuba expert Dr. Andy Gomez says this is a short-term solution to stop people trying to flee the communist island at alarming rates 10 months after they took to the streets protesting conditions.
I think this announcement more than anything is trying to prevent those people coming this way by allowing family, friends, and tourists to go on the island and help the local economy.
U.S. border officials say 32,000 Cubans were caught crossing the Mexico border in March. That's twice as many as were caught in February. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is getting a briefing today on the current status of Title 42, which has been used to expedite deportations at the southern border. He met with Border Patrol agents before dawn in McAllen, Texas, which is the busiest sector for illegal immigration. We're told that he was asked to increase funding, manpower, and technology as a way to battle the increasing border security crisis. Ford Motor Company is selling more of its stock in electric vehicle maker Rivian Automotive. The Michigan-based automaker filed paperwork Friday indicating it unloaded another 7 million shares of Rivian stock. Despite the news, shares of Rivian are up around 7% in midday trading. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies today and a few sun breaks. High temperatures, not bad, around 61, 62 degrees. Tonight, clouds and that rain will move back in. Low temperatures back down to about 47. For Wednesday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures will cooler, around 58. The clouds and rain will continue for most of Wednesday. Low temperatures down about 44. Thursday, the showers will dissipate slightly. More clouds, though. High temperature around 57. Low temperatures for Thursday down about 42. More sunshine expected for the weekend. Highs in the mid to upper 60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring. And coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I've got a great, great, this is really going to be fun. One of the most interesting and insightful conversations that nobody has been willing to have. And that is Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis. It's a great book by Dr. Rand Anbar. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Benny, Jacob, and Olivia. How's everybody doing? It does take a village, doesn't it?
I'm good, Pat. Thank you.
Yeah. So
I speak for everybody, apparently, there. Right?
I know you do, because we're all, like, really, the real quiet.
Totally. I know. I'm a big mouth, so I can fill in for everybody.
And you just fill it right in.
Totally.
It's just like fun.
That's me.
Well, of course, Olivia's probably dying to say something, but she's our silent partner in the whole scheme of things. You know, one of the things I love is that just when you think you've been doing this for a really long time, some people say it's a really long time. I don't know that 20 years is a long time. It just doesn't seem like that. But I'm always fascinated when I meet somebody like Dr. Anbar, who is has looked through a different lens. And I want to say a different lens. You're going to hear why. And then comes forward with these beautiful collection of patients' healing experience stories. And the stories are of how events change and can change a physician's approach to medicine. Now, you've heard that from some of our hosts, Dr. Sharon, right? You know, Dr. Sharon, who is a medical doctor and a shaman. I mean, come on. We are looking at things differently now. But the question is really why. You know, what is it that has captivated the mind and the heart of Dr. Ran Anbar? And what is it that now we are now able to reflect from the many different faces of children, many different faces of children? And why is it that we still carry some strange stigmatization around hypnosis? And that's what today is about. If you look at hypnosis and you look at how brilliantly it gets at layers, and we have done so many shows in 20 years on this to really change the perspective for people. But when you look at the end game, the result of what can happen, when you're working with a professional and you're able to get at things that are so underneath so many other things, would you all agree that we could be carving pathways to freedom? But how about children who have been pretty much left out of the conversation? Today, I'm excited to have all of you meet somebody that is not, and I say this again, not leaving children out of the conversation. And if you really go to the website, which we're going to send you to in a minute, you're going to be able to see stories. You're going to be able to see how reflection of change is happening. But, you know, Dr. Anbar is a board certified both in pediatric pulmonology, general pediatrics. He also offers, I love this. I love to be able to read something like this. Ready? Offering hypnosis and counseling at Centerpoint Medicine. So I love this. So I get to say, yeah, he's all that, and he's so much more than that. And the question is, how? What was it that this leader in clinical hypnosis, what is it that pointed him in a direction to help so many heal? Doctor, it's great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I just love DNA, and I only gave people a little bit of your experience, but I always love to understand the backdrop of how people get to where they are and then how they write a fantastic book. I mean, the stories in the book, we're going to get to some of them, but the stories in the book are so descriptive. Everything from about talking about faith healing to so much more. But I want to know about you. I wonder if you were out there, this kid playing in the park or something, you thought, wait a minute, I'm going to be this really amazing doctor. And by the way, I'm going to lead the field in clinical hypnosis. What do you think?
Well, I didn't know that for many years. but I've thought back to that question, how do they get started? And I'm told a story when I was 5 years old, I wanted to go fishing. And I begged my parents to take me to go fishing, and finally my father got me a fishing pole, and we went fishing, and I caught a fish. And the first thing I said is, put him back. And that, I think it was the first inkling I had I have this respect for life, which later permeated through medicine and then hypnosis. When I was 8 years old, I was living in Israel, and I was in the city of Tel Aviv, which is a major city there, and I remember walking by, and this gentleman had caught some birds, wild birds, and selling them for $1 each in Israeli coin at the time, called lirot. And I asked my mother for the allowance, my allowance for the week, and I bought two birds, and I let them go. And just setting things right. And that sort of, as a child, I think that's what echoes now in what I do with kids.
Yeah. And, you know, isn't it interesting how we look at those things and how we understand or have a better understanding of who we are? You know, it's fun to be able to really have a conversation with you today in real time, right? Because, right, what do we have here, right? Have this fantastic book, which obviously to me, this has been a labor of love. I mean, labor of love, but it must have taken so much to be able to respectfully represent these stories. What was that like for you when you've gone through this and you thought, changing children's lives with hypnosis, a journey to the center. I need to help people understand the center. What was your thinking there?
Well, you say the book was a labor of love, which it was. And the purpose of the book is to share with people what I've learned helps children through hypnosis and for people to become aware of it and then hopefully seek to use hypnosis for themselves and for their children. However, the book is based on my practice. My practice is labor of love. I every day I come and I help children get healthier, help themselves become healthier. And this is the true labor of love, and the book is an outgrowth of that. So to be able to share that is an extension of what I do day to day.
When you think about what you do day to day, I want to ask you this question. Because this is a book of stories. And when you think about what you do day to day and the work you do day to day and the lives that you're changing and transforming every day, I mean, I do this every day and people ask me about it all the time. They say, is it kind of like, is it just like by route now? Or are you just like, and I'm like, no. Every conversation I have is eye-opening. Like I have never seen 20 years, thousands of interviews, I've never had a conversation about what you had in the book. So it excites me. I want to ask you this. As you went through and you pulled all this together, all these stories, you had to have your heart open. But I would love to know how putting this together, how you changed. Now, it's very difficult to work day to day, but then to be able to reflect the lives of so many, I just wonder what your transition was like.
Well, every time I meet a new patient, it's like a new chapter, a new story. So, again, my day-to-day practice is sort of reflected in the book. So when I met today, I met two new patients, and they told me their stories. And then I told them, hey, you can change your life if you choose, because hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and if you can improve if you want to improve with or without hypnosis. And I tell the child, you have a chance to change yourself. Over the years, I've run into some children who've had remarkable stories, and I've told their stories over and over again to future patients. So the stories in the book are stories that I often use as part of my practice. For example, a child with a vocal cord dysfunction, which is a condition in which your vocal cords close when you're trying to breathe in, so it's hard to breathe. It happens because you're stressed. As a pulmonologist, I would see children with vocal cord dysfunction twice a week.
Wow.
You know, I'd tell them, hey, I've seen this before, and children have learned how to calm themselves through hypnosis, and then they get better really quick. Vocal cord dysfunction is one of these diagnoses that you can overcome in one session of learning how to regulate your emotions. And so I tell the stories over and over again, so putting them in the book was just part of what I do day to day.
Yeah. I mean, what I love about this is that I think when I think about the stories, and we're going to get to the stories when we come back from break. We're going to really talk about why these stories are so important, because while they're really amazing and interesting, they drive a point home, and the point is the journey to the center, isn't it?
That's correct. So each of us, I believe, has the solution for our issues in ourselves. As in my role as a physician, I think I need to help a patient help themselves. And this is actually true in Western medicine. We just don't think of it that way. So, for example, if you break your arm and the doctor puts a cast on it, who heals the bone? The patient does. The patient's body does. And what's the role of the cast? The role of the cast is to stabilize the arm, if you fracture your arm, until the bone heals. My role is the same as a counselor. I help stabilize the patient and let the patient heal themselves. And I also help the patient realize that within them, in their center, is the answers they need, and then how to access that answer, and then how to use it to heal.
Healing, children, hypnosis. Let's just take those three words. Healing, children, hypnosis. This is your life's work. This is amazing. I would love to know from you when we come back how you discovered this pathway to healing and how hypnosis is, how we are able through hypnosis to really get at some core issues. And this is so important because imagine if you're a child, right? Especially if you're me as a kid and you got all the issues I had, just saying. I was very fortunate to have some very good people in my life help me. But I've often wondered, what if we had what we're talking about today? How many children's lives would be different as they grow up? When we come back, I want to hear what your vision was for this, and then we're going to share some stories because some of these are fascinating. But you are someone that hasn't just written a book. You live, you breathe this, you teach this, you share the word around it. This is not just a part of your educational profession. This is a soul journey for you. When we come back, we need to really get underneath the center of Dr. Ed. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com. Illuminate your inner framework now with Shelley Hofberg and Stephanie Salt on the show Intuitive Diagnostics on Psychic Horizon. For you to find the keys to your highest path, it is vital that you see what is happening within your inner metric of you and those around you. They'll help you utilize soul architecture so that you can unravel the highest plan of life actualization for you. Manifest your unique life mission now. Every Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out. But we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. tune into, and that's when I realized, the truth and comedy of midlife. With me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer. Every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayanti is the show for your soul. Damayanti speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayanti, the show for your soul with Sarah Maine, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Green Bearville. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corrine and her services as a holistic heart-centered counselor, visit KorrineBearfoe.com.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Those of you that are listening to the live stream, you heard me talk. You heard me talk with Dr. Enbar for a minute here about why this. It's not just the book; it's what he's doing. It is a beautiful way to integrate teaching. Some teachings are ancient. Some of them are very contemporary, but there's something about what he is doing that has been taboo for a really long time. And here's what we're saying. Our children in the world we live in today, and this is, you know, Dr. Enbar is, he's a published author. You know, he's just writing articles. He's writing books. He's getting the word out. But at the core of this, there's a reason why he's doing it. Dr. Enbar, I want to make sure people know, one, how to get a copy of the book, but I also want them to find out about you. Can you send them over to CenterPoint, I guess? Is that the best place?
CenterPointHypnosis.com. This way they can find a copy of the book. Also, DrEnbar.com, DrEnbar.com.
Okay. Now, here's what I want to say. When you go to really take a look at this, I love the fact that you will see how hypnosis works. And we're going to talk about this today. And we're going to talk about why this is so powerful. You know, doctor, let me ask you this question. During the break, I was telling you that this is a critical approach whose time has now come. I don't think that in our world, at least in my lifetime, we have gone through the last 5 years or so, and even maybe longer, but definitely the last three, where up was down was up, left was right was left, and our children were muddled in the middle. And I want to ask you this question. There is a purpose for this, and I would love for you to talk about this purpose of journeying to the center. And then what that really does mean to help us understand the healing power of what you've got in this book.
Well, that's a large question. Purpose implies that there is an overall meaning, perhaps, to the universe, which I subscribe to. I see evidence for that every day through my patients. I think that learning about how we can help ourselves should be part of each of our lives' missions. Many times, children don't understand, and people don't understand that solutions can be found from within, especially in our Western society. Oftentimes we ask the solution to be somebody else to solve things for us. If we have a problem, we want the doctor to prescribe a pill for it. If we have trouble studying something, we want a teacher to tell us how to do it. And yet, truth be told, people get better because of things they can find from within. So the journey to the center is a journey we should all be on. Certainly I've been on that. You asked earlier about how did I become a healer. That's actually, that was a journey for me as well. I became a physician because I wanted to help people. But I was trained in Western medicine, and I learned to be a doctor. And to doctor something means you do something to somebody else. When you're a physician, you treat the physical, the body. And as I moved forward in my career, I realized there's a lot more to medicine than doctoring or treating the body, because you also need to treat the mind. I learned about the mind as an important part of healing when I ran into my very first patient with hypnosis with, who was very allergic to milk products. And so allergic, he twice almost died from eating milk products. And he came and told me that when I smell cheeseburgers, I develop asthma attacks, which was a rather strange symptom. And then I asked him to imagine eating a cheeseburger, and he developed an asthma attack in front of me. And at first I was frightened. Is he going to have really trouble breathing? I told him to stop, but he did. And I thought he was kidding me, and he didn't. He wasn't. He said I couldn't breathe. And that was my first inkling of the potential large impact of psychology on the health. And if you can think your way into illness, you can think your way out. So as my career progressed and I started working with this young man and others, I realized I was doing more than being a doctor. I was being more than being a physician. I was being a healer.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish, and in Hebrew, the word for doctor is rofe, which means healer. And I think that is more appropriate to what I do. And another thing connected with Judaism is the word for breath, neshama,
yeah,
is the same as the word for soul. And I'm a lung doctor. And then I realized, so many years ago already, so I'm really a soul doctor.
Yeah.
And this is actually before I learned about hypnosis. So hypnosis just fits into this.
Yeah. That's why I asked you the question about your soul. Because intuitively, it's so hard for me to imagine, you know, a professional, a man like you with such an open heart, such insight, not being both healer and soul directed. It would be hard for me to read a book like this and just have you show up as doctor, right? And that's what I love about it. But there is also so much healing power in this. How would you describe the healing, let me just say potential, the healing potential that most children are not afforded because this is not available to them. It's not even presented to them. But based on some of the stories you presented and what you've seen in your practice, the potentiality to heal some things that would otherwise go unhealed, is that for me, that's really the bridge that I'm seeing, right? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is that every child with chronic symptoms can benefit from self-healing, from self-hypnosis. Every child, we're talking about more than half the country, or half the children, chronic symptoms meaning chronic headaches, chronic stomach aches, chronic anxiety, long-term depression. And the reason every child can benefit is that if you have symptoms for a long time, then your psychology gets involved. Maybe you get anxious about it. Maybe you get depressed about it. Maybe you get worried that the symptoms will cause trouble. That's a normal thing. If psychology is involved, that means that you can change your psychology and react differently. So that's why even if you have a medical illness like cancer, for example, or asthma, or inflammatory bowel disease, all those illnesses have a psychological component. And by teaching children how to address their own psychology which does not take a long time. It's 2 or 3 sessions, not a big deal. They can have great improvement in their symptoms. And then there's a whole large minority of patients for whom the psychology drives the symptoms, but the psychology is the cause of the symptoms. Classic examples, children with stomach aches. I saw a young lady today just for the first time who had stomach aches for years. And she had a lot of things going on in her life. And the stresses in her life caused a stomach ache. A common one is child is bullied at school. You start having stomach aches. And when you help those children learn how to control their reactions, because remember, reaction to stress is psychological. When children learn how to control their reactions, their symptoms go away, they resolve. Whereas medications don't help because medications don't help the bully, right? So they might make you feel a little better, but doesn't resolve the issue. So in medicine, one of the big things to do is you want to identify the root cause of a problem and address it. With hypnosis, not only do I teach children how to calm themselves, but I also teach children to understand themselves better so they can ask themselves, what is really causing my symptom, and then addressing it. So in the case of the bully, my fear of the bully is causing the symptom, and so I can then resolve it either by learning how to become braver, or telling my teacher who's going to deal with the bully, or even transferring to school in the worst of scenarios. But you have to deal with the bully in order for the stomach to go away in this example.
You know, as I think about this, I'm really wanting to share some of the stories with our listeners and really talk about, from your perspective, what you've seen. You know, they don't have the benefit of having the book in front of them. They don't have the benefit of some of the questions that have gotten asked and some of the answers that are in here and some of the dialogue that is in here. And I was so thrilled to go on in the book later to the part four, The Power of Spirit. See, that is, to me, that is the tipping point. Jung talked about spiritual experience. He wished he could have done more. It's often hard to have a conversation about this level of transformation without being a little bit all-inclusive, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. I want to take a short break, Benny. When we come back, we're going to share some of the stories, but we're going to talk about why some of these elements are important. Why is the power of spirit important? You know, what is it about that that can elevate us beyond perhaps even our mind, beyond possibly what we can even imagine? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back, everyone.
About shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com.
Tune
into Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. And really, I just want everybody to know this: the stories in here are significant. However, there's another part to, you know, Dr. Anbar's book that is also important, and that is the structure. That is the way he lays this out so that you can see that there are so many different dimensions of healing. But beyond healing and what we know as healing and what we call as healing, there are so many other things. For example, there's a power of hypnosis that we're going to talk about in a minute. Then there's also our words, our language. And, you know, he goes through and talks about that. And, of course, he doesn't leave the subconscious out, nor does he leave out the spirit. And so in each of these parts of the book, you get to read about stories. You get to read about a cough named Bob, or you get to read about dreams of wolves. But these are real stories. Dr. It's so great. Again, would you let folks know how they can get a copy of the book and how they can find out more about you as well?
And to find out more about me and get a copy of the book, they can look up centerpointmedicine.com, C-E-N-T-E-R-P-O-I-N-T, medicine.com. Also, they can look up Dr. Anbar, DRANBAR.com.
So I want to talk a little bit about a couple things, and especially about the fact that you've included some things in this book that are insightful. But I think we should take a moment and really just kind of recap how we got to this point where people think hypnosis is one thing, and yet all of our ancient, our history around this really shows and demonstrates it's a powerful tool. But yet, it goes into our pop culture, it goes into Hollywood, and there we are. Yeah, I bet you've had to battle this.
Absolutely, especially with parents. Children often haven't heard about hypnosis, so they don't have as much baggage. But hypnosis, mostly thanks to Hollywood, has a bad reputation out there among a lot of people. It seems to people can control your mind with it. People think that, or that an evildoer can take over your mind and make you do things you don't want to do, and that you will do things against your will. All that is untrue. Hypnosis is self-hypnosis. The only mind control in hypnosis is you controlling your own mind. Nobody can make you do things against your will. And what hypnosis is a way of thinking in which you can become more suggestible. You can accept a therapist's suggestions. You can accept your own suggestions more easily. So, for example, let's say I'm working with a child who is afraid of going to the dentist because of pain. And if I said to them, well, make your mouth numb, they say, huh? I can't do that. But if they're in a state of hypnosis, if they've learned to relax with hypnosis, and I say, allow your mouth to become numb, it can become numb. They don't reject it. That's the hypnotic state. You're able to accept suggestions more easily. That's in a nutshell what happens.
You know, I want to ask you a question, and maybe you can share this. We're now moving to a place where we're really having a conversation about this, and your book really touches upon this, about the meaning of this and the approach, let's just call it the hypnosis approach, that was used way back. And that's really what we need to bring forward to explain. This is not something that popped up yesterday. This is used by indigenous people. I think you and I were talking about Egypt. You know, give us a little backdrop about that, because I've often thought, you know, if those folks didn't use some of the healing approaches we're talking about today, I don't know that we'd actually even be here at some level.
It's interesting. So we talked about the dream incubation centers in Egypt, that people would get insights through that. There's some thought that the people who are gifted at hypnosis, because some people are more skilled at it than others, and I'm talking about the patients, not the healers, although healers also need to be gifted in how to communicate the hypnosis. But people are very responsive, that perhaps they had a survival advantage, that if they worked with a shaman, for example, and they healed because of it, they are more likely to survive. And so the genes that make us predisposed to do well in hypnosis are the ones that are passed along. And maybe this is why people are open to being guided with hypnosis. So it has an ancient history. I think it's maybe the earliest use of hypnosis was in the book of Genesis, when God made Adam fall asleep to take out one of his ribs. How did he make him fall asleep? Maybe it was hypnosis. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years.
Hmm. You know, this really leads me to the point of why we're having a conversation and why you wrote a book. You obviously have had the experience of seeing how powerful and powerfully hypnosis heals. I want to take a moment. Are there any stories in here that you would like to share where you almost did a second take? Honestly, for me, almost every one of these I'm doing a second take. But I would just like to know from your perspective where it really hit the core of why this is a powerful, powerful, powerful approach.
Yes. So I told you about my patient who developed an asthma attack from smelling a cheeseburger. His name was Paul. And with him, he's the patient I first started doing hypnosis with. I wanted to send him to a psychologist who could teach him hypnosis, to teach him to control his reactions that led to his breathing problems. And he didn't want to go see a psychologist. He wanted to work with me. And under the supervision of my local psychiatrist, I started learning about hypnosis. And I read about it, and then I would practice with Paul. And one of the things I read about was interacting with the subconscious through something called ideomotor signaling. And that method, patients' subconscious can be taught to move their fingers to respond yes or no to questions that the therapist might ask. So I did that with Paul, and I asked the subconscious some yes or no questions. And very quickly, I got tired of asking yes or no questions, like playing a game of 20 questions can be tedious. And I asked the subconscious, would you talk to me? And he said yes. So the next time we met, I was going to talk to a subconscious for the first time. And I was very, very excited. I knew about Freud and Jung, about their ideas of subconscious, and I prepared a list of 50 existential questions that I read to Paul, to his subconscious. Questions like, what is love? Who is God? Have you been to heaven? What is music? Like, really tough questions. And I asked his subconscious all those questions, and he had answers with no hesitation to every single question. The only question he didn't get quite right is I asked him if he could channel my grandmother who had passed away, and he said he could not. Although I have met patients subsequently who have said that being able to channel people who passed. When he came out of hypnosis, he had no recollection of what had happened, which is typical when you interact with the subconscious. So if you do standard hypnosis and relax, you'll remember what happens. But if your subconscious gets involved, you often don't remember. It's sort of like the experience you might have when you wake up from a dream. First, you remember the dream and it fades really quickly because the dreams come from subconscious as well. When he came out of hypnosis with no recollection of the subconscious answers, I asked him the same questions again. And he gave me different answers, much more superficial answers. For example, when I asked him about his subconscious about love, he gave a very profound answer about how poetic answer. I can't even repeat. A very, very poetic answer about love. When I asked him the same question, when he was out of hypnosis, he started giggling. He said, well, I've never been in love. I'm not really sure. I can't really tell you. And the difference between the subconscious knowledge and wisdom to the conscious knowledge and wisdom was striking. And that was an aha moment for me. And I've seen that repeated over and over again. And remember, the subconscious is within each one of us. So by teaching kids to access the subconscious, you teach them to access this great source of wisdom and intelligence that they didn't realize they had. And that's probably the most profound thing I've learned.
That is, it is a profound thing, but also there's such enormous opportunity for transformation in that too. And isn't that really, you know, that discovery or that knowledge or that insight or that revelation, let's say, it really can put children in another trajectory, right?
Correct. And I've continued to learn. And recently I've come up with this idea, so I want to share this with you, about the power of the subconscious. So I don't know if you're familiar with the term idiot savants. It's an old
yes,
term.
Yes, I am.
It's pejorative these days. But this is referred to people who are born with mental challenges, but they have a savant ability, a brilliant ability, maybe music or math, or they can tell you what day of the week any date in history was. So nobody could quite explain how these people come to be. But then there's another term called acquired savants. And these are people who have developed a left brain injury, and that's like through trauma and war or something. And after that, they develop a savant ability they never had before. Something they might be gifted in math and music, which they never had before. And scientists and physicians say, well, the reason is that the left brain must have suppressed the savant ability. And that never quite made sense to me. Why, whether you believe that God created us or that we're a product of evolution, what would be the purpose of having a savant ability that suppressed your entire life? That doesn't make sense to me. It would take a lot of energy and a lot of work to get that ability if you never can express it. So I have a different idea, and this is an idea. It hasn't been proven, anything like that. I think that the right side of the brain, which is a lot of the subconscious work takes place in the right side of the brain, has a conduit into the universe beyond. I believe that when we pray through that conduit on the right side of our brain. I think when we get insights, or if people say they've seen spirits, it's through that right conduit. And I believe the left brain suppresses that conduit, and that when the left brain gets injured, that conduit is open and we're able to develop savant abilities, for example, by bringing things in from outside of ourselves. And I also want to tell you why I think we suppress that ability. Because if we have this open conduit to the rest of the world and we see spirits or have what people call hallucinations, people think you're nuts. That can't be real. And so we learn very fast in the Western society to ignore it, to shut it down. We teach, I think, our kids to stop allowing the conduit to be open. There are cultures around the world, but for example, seeing spirits is normal. People see day to day, and people think you're fine. And people in those cultures, they don't find this at all unusual. But in the Western culture, we do. And I think that's what's going on. And when we do hypnosis, when we teach you to part your conscious mind in hypnosis and allow your subconscious mind to express itself, for some of my patients, this conduit opens, and they're able to access a lot of amazing material.
When we have this access to amazing material, and we have this access to working with someone like you, I think we need to put it together. I think we need to put the idea that we are now in a process of discovery, just like the story you told, just like so many more in your book. And there's always this next part that's like, what now, right? And I think we should talk about that a little bit, because the stories, you know, and what you should, these are more than stories. These are transformational life events here for children. And yet, they beautifully depict something. And then there may be more to do. Can you talk to that more to do?
Sure. So once a child, oftentimes I forget when a child first came to see me because their initial symptom is gone. And once that happens, I will tell the child, you want to keep working with me or you're done. And some children want to keep learning more about themselves. And that's when the amazing transformation can occur, whether they learn to become more creative, whether they can start channeling poetry and producing poetry that they feel is just coming, flowing through them rather than from them. A lot of great poets talk about channeling poetry. This is where children can really gain insight in ways that they might not otherwise. A story in the book that was very touching was of a young man who lost his mother. His father had left him many years beforehand, and the mother had just passed, and he was in a grieving process. And I gave him the opportunity to use hypnosis to interact with his mother. So he went into hypnosis, invited his mother to talk with him, and then he had an interaction with her, which he later said felt very real. He felt it was real, and his grief process changed completely. He got much further along than he had been. And I've done this time and again with children who have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
They have an experience which they believe is real, and while I can't say for sure, I believe it's real too. It feels very real, and the transformation you see is amazing. I think that's what you're talking about in terms of where we can go from here.
Yeah, and I think this is why we're talking about it, as you say in the book, changing children's lives with hypnosis, a journey to the center, because we're talking about real change. We're talking about, you know, for whatever the situation might be for a child, it could be anything. It could be trauma. It could be so many things. You know, without having healing, without having an intervention around here, without having the solution that you present in the book, the child will go on with their lives, and they will carry all of this, whatever that this is, with them. And that's really critical because, you know, what if we could, right? What if children, especially children now coming out of the pandemic, who don't even know the depth and the breadth of perhaps what they've seen. You know, there have been children now coming out of this that have watched both parents get drunk two or three nights a week. I mean, I'm just talking a little bit of stuff. But this is really now, this shouldn't be the anomaly to healing, right? What would it take? What is your vision to be able to bring this in and have this be more fully accepted, acknowledged, learned, and then delivered?
Well, that's my daily question that I ask.
Yeah.
You know, hypnosis in its modern form has been around 70 years. In the 1950s, both the American Medical Association and the British Medical Society said hypnosis is a legitimate tool for pain control in medicine. And yet, when I went to medical school in the 1980s, nobody ever talked to me about hypnosis. And even today, people don't know about it. So there's been many people who have tried to get physicians to know about it, but it falls on deaf ears, in part because it means you have to think differently about how to approach your patients. In part, it's because there's no pharmaceutical company saying, hey, prescribe hypnosis. It'll make us lots of money. And in part, hypnosis is so different, it takes a long time. All these misconceptions physicians have. So going through the medical field to make this change doesn't seem to be a very fast process. This is why I wrote this book. This book is written for the public. Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis is written for the public, for parents, for clergymen, for teachers, for physicians, but for children. It's readable, and my hope is people will read it, say, hey, this really makes sense to me. I need to find out more about it. I'm going to tell my neighbor about it. So I'm hoping to start a grassroots movement through this book and through my book tour. I have to tell you, I'm a physician, a healer. I don't go around self-promoting. here I'm promoting, but I'm not self-promoting. I'm promoting this idea people can help themselves. And you're so right. There's so many people out there who could be helped who don't even realize there's an option out there. And that's my job, your job, and listeners to this broadcast. I'm hoping they take up the challenge to spread the word.
Yeah. It, when I reflect upon this, I love what you say on your website. I love what you say when you say hypnosis involves a shift in thinking patterns. To my patients, I define hypnosis as using your imagination to help yourself. I love that. I love that. You go on to talk about it even further. But one of the things that is so absolutely critical and important is how available this is. And, you know, if we could enable people to really look at this, they can go to your website, centerpointhypnosis.com. They can get a copy of the book and they can read it for themselves. They can find out for themselves. But there's one word I haven't used yet. And in a couple minutes left, I would love to hear your comment on. And that is my personal experience of what happened to me. It was a pathway to a new freedom. It was a pathway to a new sense of self. And I didn't even know that until I was on the other side. But freedom isn't used enough in describing what can happen. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the parallel world, the word I would use is empowerment.
Oh, yeah.
I think when a child or an adolescent or an adult learns how they can help themselves through accessing their mind in a new way, that empowers them, and it's the fuel for the freedom you speak about. And I think that as we move forward in life,
mm-hmm.
we encounter a challenge, and our first question is not, oh, can somebody help me overcome it, but how can I help myself? How can I think mm-hmm. differently in this situation to overcome my obstacle? As I did when I was perhaps younger and did hypnosis back then, that gives you a freedom that you might not otherwise experience.
I want to thank you for today. Again, tell everyone how to get a copy of the book, how to find out about you. And then I would love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with today.
So, again, a copy of the book can be obtained through centerpointhypnosis.com or dranbar.com. I hope you read the book. I hope you spread the word because this is the main message. And as far as the personal message is, we are all on a journey. This life is a journey. The journey that I think is most productive is a journey we take into ourselves, into our center. Join us.
And I want to just say to everybody, when you go to the website, Center Point Hypnosis, you're going to find a lot of tools there. Everything from a quiz you can download to take, to stories, to what people are saying about the book, to what hypnosis is. And again, please reach out. You know, please reach out. Please contact Dr. Anbar. Please reach out. Ask your questions, because that is the point of the beginning. That is the point when you're willing to say, let me check this out. Let me see if there's another way. And then from that point on, it's like you say, we can change it. We can change the thought pattern. We can change our lives, and we can carve a pathway that is so healing. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Thank you for writing not just an inspirational book, but the stories are just fascinating. You know, there's a couple of them that I read over again, especially the one about Yogi Berra and the Yankees. I had to read that one over a couple of times. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to all of you. I know many of you have sent us emails and have asked us, how do we go about this? How do we heal? You know, what is the next step for us? What happens if we don't address some of the things we're seeing in our children? All I'm saying is go over, take a look at Center Point Hypnosis, decide for yourself. But there's a lot of information here that might guide you to something you hadn't thought about doing before. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Jacob. And thank you for being the best audience on the planet. We'll see you next time.